Okay, welcome everybody to Hebrew Club. We are starting Psalm 36 in our walk through this section of the Psalter. Finished Psalm 35, a rather complicated and much longer psalm than Psalm 36. Psalm 36, you'll see some things, some verses that are very familiar to you and some verses that seem very strange to you, all right? And some interesting syntactical and also semantic structures. So we start with Psalm 36. It's generally, it's characterized sometimes as a wisdom psalm, sometimes as a hymn, sometimes as a lament, which tells you what categorization is worth. Everybody has their own. So verse 1, La menatzech le'evet Adonai le'David. Again, every term is known to you. The combination is rather unique. It's for the choir director, or to the choir director, usually translated that way. Le'evet, by the servant of the Lord, by David. Notice that his name, proper name, comes last. You know, in English style, we usually would say by David, the servant of the Lord. And notice that the Lamed is repeated twice, or repeated, which you don't normally have to do that grammatically. But notice when you repeat the preposition before the personal name and before his, what you would call it, his the other appellation, you know, the servant of David, kind of his, I don't know how to describe that, what that is, but I'll let you guys think about that. But notice what it does, it heightens each of the characters. So it's heightening servant of David. In other words, if he would have just, or servant of the Lord, if he would have just said, by David, a servant of the Lord, notice that servant of the Lord wouldn't be highlighted like it is. But it's brought before David, and it's kind of fronted to highlight that aspect of David's relationship with Yahweh. Okay. Yes?
These are clearly two different uses of the Lamed there.
Yes.
Is the second one, is that
attributed
to, sort of?
Well, that's why I was going to say you Someone might want to take out the word clearly there, because those Lameds can have different functions. I mean, it's normally translated as, the first one is normally translated as two or four, the choir director, on the assumption that he receives music. The second one is normally understood as a Lamed of authorship. It doesn't have to be, though. It can be for David, like dedicated to David, or sometimes about David, or, you know, there's a number of possibilities. All right, so that's the best we can do. All right, so the interesting stuff starts at the next verse. Ne'um peshel arasha bekerv libi ein pachad Elohim leneged einav. Notice that ne'um is one of those frozen particles or words in Hebrew. It always occurs in this form. For this word, there's no kind of suffixes that are ever added. It normally occurs in prophetic literature and divine speech. That's where it most often occurs. But not only. There's a handful of other places. the easiest way to think about it is that it is roughly parallel to Amar, when God speaks. It can occur at the beginning, middle, or end of prophetic speech, by the way. But it also occurs in the Balaam oracles. It occurs in Proverbs once or twice, something like that. All right, in non-prophetic speech. So one way to think of it is that it introduces direct speech, all right, introduces direct speech, and the prophets have kind of relegated it to this special use to introduce divine speech. So here you see, if you translate it, notice the syntax, peshel arasha. There's a couple other parallel passages that match the syntax, and that's the reason I'm translating it like this. Pesha, transgression, says to rasha, the wicked. The wicked one, Rasha. Everybody see that? So I'm translating Ne'um just as I might translate Yomer or Amar. Transgression. See, the interesting thing is that transgression is the speaker. Transgression is personified. There's a lot of debate about the correct reading of the text, about how to translate these. If you look at different translations of this first verse you're going to see a lot of differences, all right? Because notice the other decision you have to make is the Bekerev Libi. The Masoretic text has in the midst of my heart. So you could that could modify Rasha. Transgression says to the wicked one, who is in the midst of my heart? See? Or it could modify transgression says. So in the midst of my heart, transgression says to the wicked one. See the difference? And also, notice that for Libi, my heart, a number of manuscripts have, if you look under letter C there, his heart. And that's, most translations will say, will have it like that. Transgression says to the wicked, in the midst of his heart. You will see most translations do that, but the Masoretic text has my heart. So just be aware of that, all right? And there's, like I said, a number of different ways to understand it. So you have syntax problems, you have referent problems, and you even have textual issues here. So a number of levels makes it an interesting line. But if we say that transgression is speaking, and he's speaking to the wicked one, all right, and ne'um then is kind of like... if you think of it as prophetic, introducing prophetic speech, which it doesn't always, again, then you have this interesting case in which transgression, personified, is talking to a wicked person. So what's he going to say is the point I want to make. All right, and so he follows it up in the next verse with the direct speech. See, Ein pachad, there is no fear of God before his eyes. Namely the wicked one's eyes. Okay? Then we go to verse 3. Ki hechalik elav be'enav limtzo avono lisno. For hechalik. This is the hifil of chalak, meaning number 2. Chalak meaning number 1. You probably learned it. It means to apportion or to share, divide, like to divide the land. But it also means to be smooth or to be slippery. So here's the hifil form of it, to make smooth or slippery. And it's referring to speech. And so it's a hifil perfect. Hechelik, he flatters. And when we flatter, usually in English has that bad connotation, false flattery. So... all right, but he flatters Elav, and I'm taking this as a reflexive. He flatters himself be'enav, in his own eyes. All right, and then you have limzo. This is a call, infinitive construct. Everybody see that? With a lamed in front of it. And then lisno is another call, infinitive construct, to hate. So to find and to hate. So he flatters himself in his own eyes to find his iniquity, to hate. And we are assuming it means to hate it. So what does that mean? See the difficulty? It's usually understood to mean he flatters himself in his own eyes so much that, or too much to find his iniquity in order to see, to hate it. So he flatters himself so much that he doesn't see his iniquity. Okay? All right, everybody see that? So... or you could say he flatters, let's see, some translations, if I can remember this, he flatters himself in his own eyes to find iniquity, to hate it. they understand it as even when he sees his iniquity, he denies that it's iniquity. So he sees it but then denies that it's a problem.
Could you take that he hates to find his iniquity? I mean,
yeah, you could. To find his iniquity.
To hate to find it or something like that?
Something, well... your guess is as good as mine at this point because, I mean, that's what we're dealing with in these first three verses. And again, if you see, look at translations and commentaries, you're going to see a number of different solutions to a problem like this. Again, notice that the verse is very terse, compact, things left out. We don't have a lot of context. And even the previous context is very hard to interpret. So you're kind of guessing as best you can up to this point in the psalm. Things do get clearer after this point, though. All right? Yeah, any questions through that? Any other questions through that, I should say? Okay? Good. Things get a little better right now. Divrei piv avenu mirma chadala haskila heitiv. Words of his mouth, very simple, there you go, are aven, iniquity, and mirma, deceit. Again, rama means to deceive, add a mem to it, becomes a noun. Chadal means to stop. He stops. Now notice this interesting construction. You have two infinitives, see those? They function as objects of that call verb. So he stops. Now, lehaskil is a hifil, infinitive construct, from sakal, to be wise. So we would probably translate to act wise, sakal. So he stops acting wisely. Lehetiv, notice, is an infinitive hifil from yatav, to be good, hifil, to do good. Okay, so he stops acting wisely, doing good. Again, notice there's no vav there between them. They just juxtapose those two words. Or you could translate, he stops acting wisely so as to do good. So you could translate that lehetiv as subordinate to the lehaskil as well. Everybody see that? Okay, any questions? Does that make sense? Everybody has frowns on their faces. So it's like, okay, I think so.
Well, I mean, to me it seems like we're dealing about matters of conscience and a conflict of...
Yeah, he goes from... Right, so the transgression is talking to the wicked person about his wickedness. Notice what's interesting to me is the transgression doesn't try to deceive the wicked. He's actually talking like Yahweh would talk.
The psalmist is trying to put some psychological concepts together by giving some idea of personification of emotions.
I mean, if the correct reading is Pesha is talking, transgression is doing the talking here. It's really interesting what transgression says. Not like the serpent in Genesis 3 who tries to deceive Adam and Eve by telling them, oh, God didn't really say that, see? But this one says just what it is. Yeah, I mean, verse 2 could be, okay, this is what's going on inside my heart as I'm contemplating the evil one. I mean, there's a number of possibilities that I'll let you think about as you're kind of meditating on this psalm. Okay. All right, verse 5. Avin yachshov al mishkavo, yit yatzev al derek lo tov, ra lo yimas. Avin, again, iniquity, yachshov, he considers or plans from chashav. This is simple call, all right, call imperfect. So Avin, he plans on mishkavo, his bed. Yit yatzev, he stands himself, that's a hit pile from Yatzav, he stands himself on a road, loto, not good. Notice the understatement there, not good means evil. Evil, lo yimas, he does not reject. Again, a call imperfect for maas. So again, iniquity considers on his bed, he stands himself on a road, not good. Evil, he does not refuse. Okay. Questions through 5, that was an easier one. Okay. All right, let's go to verse 6. Now notice how everything changes here as far as the tone of the psalm. There's a big shift. Verse 6. Adonai behashamayim chasdeka. Emunateka ad shechakim. O Yahweh, in the heavens is chasdeka, your loving kindness, your faithfulness, your loyalty. Emunateka, your truth or your faithfulness is ad shechakim, is up to or to the clouds. Shechak means cloud. So shechakim, clouds. So notice we've kind of gone from the cramped space of the heart of the wicked. I mean, Jim, notice the internalness of most of the description in the first verses. So it's like he goes from the cramped heart to the broad expanses of the universe when he's thinking about Yahweh's chesed. It's a very nice move here as he moves from talking about the wicked one to thinking about Yahweh's grace and his faithfulness. And notice how he kind of keeps talking that way in this half of the song. Questions through 6? All right, verse 7. Tzidkataka kehara re'el mishpataka tehom rabah adam uvehema toshia aronai. Your righteousness is as harare, the mountains of God. Okay? That's just an alternate spelling of har, mountains of God, construct form. And that, you know, you could translate that probably something like highest mountains. You know, that's probably how what is meant here, given the context. Your mishpat, your judgment. Now you could translate is a tehom rabah, is a great deep. Or you could transfer the comparative over. Notice the kaf is not there. Your judgment is like a great deep. Okay? I think the simile, making it a simile, makes it a little, I like the, it's not as forceful as the nice metaphor, your judgment is a great deep. But again, a lot of times Hebrew will leave the cough out of one colon and put it in the next one. Now notice where he goes in verse 7. He adds another colon to it. Adamu behema, man and animal, toshia Adonai. You save, O Yahweh, from yasha, genehifil, imperfect. So again, your righteousness is as the mountains of God. Your judgment is a great deep. Man and animal, you save, O Yahweh. Okay? Any questions? Yeah, we're going to finish this today. That's nice. All right. Ma yakar chastaka Elohim u vene adam. Betzel kenafaka yechesayun. All right. Ma, how yakar, how precious is chastaka? Notice you have this abstract chesed and tzedakah and mishpat. Notice how he's trying to get the language to describe them. So the first thing he does is use these spatial metaphors. In verse 7, you know, your chesed is in the heavens, up to the clouds, to the height of it. And then in verse 7, he uses simile and metaphor to describe his righteousness and his mishpat here, justice. All right? And then in verse 8, how precious, he's still thinking about it, is your chesed, O God, u b'nei adam, and mortal man, or the children of men, in the shade of your wings, betzel kenafek, in the shade of your wings, yeche sayun. In the shade of your wings, they seek refuge. That's from the, what root is that from? Everybody see it? Chasa. Yeah, chasa. And notice the original yud is there. So that's less common spelling for those third hey verbs. When you add the consonant ending, that yud comes, usually disappears. Here it's present. So you have all three root letters. All right. Notice you have the paragogic nun at the end, marking the imperfect form. So in the shade of your wings, they seek refuge. Yechesayun. Okay. Questions through 8? Okay, verse 9. Yirveyun medeshen beteka venachal adaneka tashkem. The first root is from resh vav he, rava. Resh vav he. And again, the yud has come back before the vocalic suffix u. Resh vav he, to be saturated. So again, it's just a call, imperfect, third masculine, plural. So they are saturated with deshen, fat. Beteka, your house. So that's the subject, your house, they are saturated with the fat of your house, namely human beings. Notice the subject goes back to Bnei Adam. So, with the fat of your house, they are saturated. Venachal is a river, and a river of Adaneka, your delights. That's where you get the word Eden from. And and a river of your delights, Tosh came. You give them to drink. Notice that this is from Shaka, to give a drink to. It's a hifil form, Tosh came, with a suffix. Okay? So they are saturated by the fat of your house, and you give them to drink a torrent of your delights. Very nice line. Okay? Okay, verse 10. Ki emeka mekor chayim be'oraka nir e'or. Here's a famous line you probably know. For with you is a fountain of life, or a fountain of life is with you, mekor chayim. In your light, nir e'or, we see light. Simple call, first common plural, imperfect. Okay. Questions through 10? Okay, 11. Meshok chastaka le yod eka vetzid kataka le yish rele. Mesok is to draw out. So this is a call imperative. Draw out chesed. He's still thinking of your chesed. Your chesed for yod eka, those who know you. That's just a call participle from yada, used as a substantive, plural. So draw out your chesed. A lot of translations just kind of make it more vanilla, continue your chesed. So draw out or up your chesed for those who know you. Fetzid kataka, and your righteousness for the yishrei lev, for the upright in heart, from yashar. Okay. Then verse 12, al tevo eini regel ga'va v'yad rasha'im al teni deini. Tevo eini is from bo. Again, it's call, imperfect, third, feminine, singular. Regel is the subject. Regel ga'ava. That's foot of pride. Ga'ava is pride. So a foot of pride. Notice this would be a jussive form, volative form. Let not a prideful foot come upon me. Notice the suffix. Has a more of a dative function, which is possible, so no problem. And let not, and the hand of the wicked, see vayad reshaim, or the power of the wicked, the hand of the wicked, let it not teni deini. Again, from nude means to waver or to go back and forth, go to and fro. So here you have teni deini, the hifil form of it, imperfect. Let it not let it not make me waver or something like that in power. May it not make me wander, waver, something like that. Okay? Everybody see that? That's a hollow root, but it's a hifil form with a suffix. Okay? Okay, the last verse. Sham naflu po aleaven, dohu velo yak lukum. All right, there they fall, namely the po'alei aven, workers of iniquity. That's a call participle, uses substantive. Dohu, this is from dacha, third hey verb. This is pu'al, all right, and this means, dacha means to push, pu'al means to be pushed or thrust. So they are thrust down, velo yaklu, and they are not able, kum, to rise. All right, again, infinitive, there it ends there. So there they fall, name of the workers of iniquity. They are thrust down, and they are not able to rise. Now, what the there refers to is kind of a mystery. It could be a number of things, see? And notice that that line could also, if it's kind of more in a prophetic vein, refer to the future as kind of future judgment. But again, that's you know, worth kind of part of a larger kind of theological contemplation about the psalm. So notice it's a beautiful psalm. It's one of the most beautiful, that second part, especially as he thinks about righteousness, justice, faithfulness, chesed, grace, mercy. Notice how he's thinking about it. Notice how he pictures it. Waxes poetic through here. And you can see him rising in joy. So notice the feeling you get from this part of the psalm is this kind of broad, expansive, exhilarating feeling versus the crampedness and kind of the darkness of the first part, and set in contrast to each other.
Yeah, I was getting kind of claustrophobic in the first
part. Yeah, exactly. That's a good way to put it. I like that, Jim. I know you're kidding me, but that doesn't matter.
The second half of verse 10, the poetry is really great. I mean, it's almost like rhyming there.
Yeah, it is, right. Yeah. And so the one who, those who know you versus the wicked. See, the contrast couldn't be more stark than it's put in these two psalms. You know, so you have the spatial difference, inside versus outside, the up versus down, things going on. All right? All right, very good.